Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the
Lord. Well, this is great. It looks like we're going to be starting right on time. I like that. And we're going to go into a time of worship. But before we do that, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this place that thou hast given us to worship thee and to study thy word. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would flow today, throughout this entire service, throughout the worship, throughout the study. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be here and upon each and every one of us, that thou wouldst inspire us, and that we would exit this building later being better than we were when we came in. We ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And as I'm sure many of you already know, we are having a church picnic tomorrow at Lakeview Park. I hope you can all make it for that. It should be a good time. From the looks of the weather forecast, it's probably going to be quite a bit warmer than it was last year, so we shouldn't have to huddle around the fire this time to keep warm. So that should be great. And for those who are online, I'd let you know that we will be broadcasting the service that we're going to have here at the church at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. We will be broadcasting that online if anybody wants to listen in. It'll just be a shorter service than usual, but we're going to get together and study the Word a little bit and sing some songs tomorrow, because the Bible tells us to seek the kingdom of God first. Praise the Lord. Having said all that, well, I guess we'll sing some songs. If you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, I think we'll start with number 135, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We need to put our complete trust in Jesus. You never go wrong doing that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 75, Higher Ground. On the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand my faith on heaven's tableland, higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's our aim. That's our goal. Higher ground. And by faith, even today, even though we're in this world, our hearts can be in heaven. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 43, Count Your Blessings.
When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angel will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. That's a good thing to remember. Sometimes we may be feeling deprived because we don't quite have what we want, but we are so blessed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, since we're here, why don't we look across the page and sing What a Friend, number 44.
Have we tried?
Trouble in this world and a lot of things that can be distressing in our lives, but we can take that all to the Lord. We can take that to our friend Jesus, and He will lift those burdens from our shoulders. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we take up the collection now? Rob, if you could do that for us, that'd be great. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes and offerings. We understand, O God, that these funds belong to Thee. They are not for us, for our personal use, or for our gain, but to further Thy kingdom and Thy will. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us wisdom on how these funds should be used. And we pray that Thou wouldst bless the giver, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name, for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Well, before we get into the Word, why don't we sing one more song, number 107, Glory to His Name.
Come to the fountain so rich and sweet.
cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge into day and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It is good to worship the Lord and glorify his holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I think now it's time to get into the Word. Praise the Lord. It's been quite a week for me. I've been working on the newsletter for most of the week. I started compiling it on Monday, started writing on Tuesday, and I mostly finished writing it at about 3:30 in the morning on Saturday, so I just had to put some finishing touches on that, but it's done, and Mom is proofreading it, and soon we'll be printing it, and it'll be available within a few days, so I'm thankful for that. You know, sometimes writing a newsletter is harder than others. Sometimes, you know, you're fought a little harder, and that one was a hard one to write, but praise the Lord, he got me through it, as he always has. Now, sometimes when I'm thinking, I don't know if I can do this, I just remember all the other times he helped me, and that restores my faith. Glory to God. And since I was working on the newsletter most of this last week, I didn't have much of an opportunity to study for this message, but I opened my Bible last night, and this is what the Lord gave me. I'm going to call this message today, The Word of God. And to start with, we're going to be opening with Psalm 119. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy word. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst teach us new and wondrous things from thy holy scripture. We ask of God that thy spirit would abound here today and that we would receive thy blessings which thou hast prepared for us. We ask, O God, that we would learn from thy scriptures, that we would take them to heart, that they would sink down deeply into our hearts, and that they would have an impact on our lives, that we would walk away changed and blessed by thy holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be starting in Psalm 119, which happens to be a very, very long poem. We're not going to do the whole thing today because it's 176 verses. I would actually like to do the whole thing at some point because it's a wonderful thing, and I've been reading through it. I've read it several times, and it is a beautiful poem. And the underlying theme of this poem is that the Word of God, we need to hide it in our hearts. We need to follow the Word of God. We need to lay it to heart. We need to seek after it. The Holy Scriptures, God's Word. And that is the theme of this poem. And of course, we all know that it's important to study the Scriptures. And that's what we're going to be studying today, the importance of studying God's Word. Starting in Psalm 119, verse 1, it tells us, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart." You know, we can't just half-heartedly seek after God. We need to seek him with the whole heart. "They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And we know that Jesus told us, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to lay that to heart. If you really love God, you will not only respect his commandments, but you will keep them and obey them. Verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. You know, God's judgments are always righteous. Sometimes people read the scriptures and they come across something that they don't like, and they think to themselves, why did God do that? That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem appropriate. But we need to be mindful of the fact that we don't see things the way God sees them. He sees the complete picture, and all we can see is whatever is in front of our faces. But God never does the wrong thing. He always does the right thing. And even if there are sometimes things he does that we don't fully understand, you can be sure that there's a good reason for everything that he does. God's judgments are always righteous. Verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now that applies not only to young men, but to each and every one of us. If you want to cleanse your way, if you want to be purified, you need to take the word of God to heart. You need to obey the word of God. You need to seek after God and meditate on his word day and night. That is how we cleanse our ways, by obeying what the scriptures tell us, by repenting of our sins, by being baptized in his name, and by being filled with the Holy Ghost. These are all the lessons that were taught in these scriptures. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And that is so important. We need to study these scriptures. We need to hide these words in our heart so that we're always conscious of them. We're always meditating upon these words. We're always thinking about them. Hide them in our hearts, because if these words are in your heart, these are the words of God, if these words are in your heart, then no one can ever take those away from you. Even if they decided they were going to confiscate all the Bibles, they couldn't take the word from your heart. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, with thy whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And of course, that's a wonderful portion of scripture. And it goes on in that theme throughout Psalm 119. We're going to look at Psalm 19 a little bit more later on. We'll read another portion of it. But what I'd like to do now is go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, we're going to read about how Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And what Jesus is doing here, he's setting an example. He's showing us how we too can overcome the temptations of our enemy, of our adversary, the devil. And we can draw great strength from this lesson. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And of course, what we read about here, this obviously was not the extent of the temptation, because it tells us here that he was tempted 40 days of the devil. And, you know, sometimes we think we've got it hard, being tempted sometimes to do things we
shouldn't do, but if you can imagine being tempted 40 days in a row. And during that whole time, he ate no food. He was fasting, so as I'm sure we could all imagine, you'd be pretty hungry after 40 days of no eating. Verse 3, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You see, it's not just the food in this world that we eat that's important. You know, yes, it sustains our lives, it keeps us alive, but just as important is spiritual food from the Word of God. You know, if you go too long without reading the Scriptures, you're going to be starving to death spiritually. It is so important that we read the Word of God, that we take it to heart, that we meditate on it each and every day. We don't live by bread alone. It is not that type of bread that sustains us, but by every word of God. Continuing on, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." You know, Satan thinks he has a lot of power and a lot of control, but actually, everything he does is subject to the will of God, too. It's no big thing for God to override the devil when he tries to perform his mischief. He's not as powerful as he thinks he is. In fact, we have the power to overcome the devil through the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As we studied in last week's message, the scriptures tell us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's a wonderful thought, that the devil would flee from us. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." So, the devil here is offering Jesus all the kingdoms of this world, which is kind of silly because we know that Jesus was both God and man. And the scriptures tell us that all power was given to the Son, so Jesus didn't need any of this. He was already in control. Praise the Lord. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You know, some people might read that and say, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I want the devil behind me, because then I can't see what he's doing. But you know what? As long as the devil's behind you, you can't follow him. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So now we hear that Satan is quoting scripture, and he does that sometimes. And of course, we know that that portion he's quoting there is actually from Psalm 91. But the devil will do that sometimes, and that's another reason why it's extremely important for us to study the Word of God, to know what the Word of God says, because that way, if somebody takes it out of context, you will know right away that it's wrong. If we know and understand what the Bible says, we cannot be led astray. And there are a lot of ministers out there who don't quite get it right, and I know I'm not perfect either, but the Lord helps us. Praise the Lord. And the more we study the Word, the more we get to know it, the greater our understanding will be of it. And as you may remember from a few weeks ago, in that story, after the resurrection of Jesus, he met those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he opened the Scriptures to them, and they understood the Scriptures. He can do the very same thing for us. But if you want to understand the scriptures, if you want to know the scriptures, you have to study the word. You have to lay at the heart. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So we see in this portion of scripture of Luke 4 the importance of studying the word of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And we need to learn and meditate every word of God. Every scripture in this Bible is important. And I hope that someday I will know this scripture like the back of my hand. I know that even now I don't know it as well as I should. As long as I've been reading the scripture, I don't know it as well as I should. But the Lord is always showing me new things, and I am so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. What I'd like to do now is go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be reading 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then also chapter 3. And there are a lot of important things that the Apostle Paul has written in these scriptures. Of course, we know that he wrote these epistles to Timothy, but they apply to each and every one of us too. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And that's another important reason to study the scriptures, so that we can teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we know that if you follow hard after God, if you obey his word, there is going to be hardships in this world. It's not always going to be easy. But the Lord will strengthen us. He'll help us. He'll pull us through. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And, it's an interesting analogy here. You know, he's saying that, for example, if a man was participating in sports and he cheated, then he wouldn't be given the award for it because he didn't strive lawfully. We need to strive lawfully and obey the word of God. Obey what the word of God tells us. There's no other way. You're not going to sneak into heaven. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Of course, we know that the gospel is the good news. The word gospel literally means good news. And the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead is very, very good news. Because that means that death has no power or control over us either. Glory to God. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You know, that's an interesting thing there. The word of God is not bound. And we know that to be true. And we know that, for example, the King James Bible is not copyrighted in the United States. We can read this book. We can publish it. We can print our own Bibles if we want to. We can use as many verses as we want to in our publications or whatever we want. But you know, those other versions out there, if you want to use them, You have to get permission from the copyright holder first. God's word is not bound. And I have to say, some of those versions, when I hear scriptures, so-called scriptures from those other versions, it does not even sound like scripture to me. I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and a lot of them post scriptures, and some people, you know, they don't use the King James, and they'll post a verse, and I'll be reading it, and it actually takes me a minute to realize that it's supposed to be a scripture, because a lot of those versions, they've really dumbed it down. But, you know, I've been reading the King James since I was just a little guy, and it's not as hard as people make it out to be. And when you do struggle, God will help you. He will give you understanding if there are portions you don't quite understand. And if you come across words that you don't know, just look at it as an opportunity to learn something new. You know, just crack open a dictionary and you can expand your mind a little bit. That's a wonderful thing too. Praise the Lord. And, I guess a lot of people would consider me a little old-fashioned, but I honestly, some of those versions, they don't look anything like Scripture to me. I know there's one called The Message that seems to be really popular, but it doesn't sound anything like the Word of God. And for that reason, I will keep using the King James, because I know that God uses this book. And, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And obviously we know that the King James Version is 100% correct. And people sometimes will say that, well, it doesn't really matter because they all basically say the same thing. No, they don't. They really don't. If you compare them side by side, for example, some versions, when it talks about Jesus being born of a virgin, it'll say that Jesus was born of a young woman instead, and we know that there's nothing special about that. That happens all the time. So we need to make sure that when we study the Word, it is the true, unbound Word of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. You know, when we're baptized in Jesus' name, we're buried with him in baptism. We die to our old lives, to our old sinful nature. We rise to walk in newness of life. And because of that, we can live in the glory of eternity and obtain eternal life. That's what it's talking about here in verse 11. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And although there is much suffering in this world today for the Christian people, that's only temporary. God sees everything that happens. And those who suffer in this world for his sake, for his cause, they will receive glory in heaven for doing so. Treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So we see here how important it is that we never deny the Lord Jesus. We see how important it is. We don't want him to deny us. For if he denies us, we have no hope. Right. Jesus Christ is our only hope.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I write that newsletter every month, and that is the point I try to stress. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Yes, there's a lot of things wrong in the world, but we have hope in Jesus, and he is our only hope. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, a lot of people waste time studying unprofitable things. We need to keep our focus and our emphasis on God. And there are a lot of Bible scholars out there too, and people will go off to seminary. Sometimes going off to seminary doesn't work out quite the way people would expect. I know there was one man I know that he intended to become a minister, and then he went off to seminary and he came out of there an atheist. So when you get to those Bible schools and those seminaries, sometimes they'll fill your minds with foolishness, and they'll argue, you know, over who wrote what, and then argue, for example, over who wrote the book of Hebrews, and they'll say that other portions of scriptures aren't valid because somebody just added that in later and so forth. You know, it's really something. These so-called Bible scholars, it seems like they can't agree on anything, so what good is it? Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we need to study the word of God in faith, believing what it says, knowing that it is the truth. If you read the word of God from an academic standpoint, you could read the whole thing cover to cover and not get a thing out of it. But if you read it with an open heart, truly embracing the words, then God will write his word on the tablets of your heart, and you'll be thinking about it day and night. You know, sometimes it's hard to study the word. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want you to. You know, sometimes your flesh might tell you, well, it's, you know, you read the Bible the other day, you don't need to do it now. Go watch a movie or something, or play SimCity or something, you know. Sometimes your own flesh will come against you like that. But if you actually read the Word of God and let the Spirit of God move upon you, there's a great blessing in that. And the more chapters you read, the further along you get in the Bible, the easier it gets, and the Spirit starts to flow, and it's a wonderful thing. And in so doing, you overcome the flesh that tells you that you don't need to study, you don't need to pick up the Bible. You can overcome that. Just be subject to the will of God, and the more you read, the more you study this Word, the more you will know it. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, I remember a lot of times when I was reading in the Old Testament, a lot of those stories and so forth about Elijah and so on. A lot of times I would read them right before I went to sleep. And I would actually dream about them. And that's actually a wonderful thing too, to dream about the lessons that we learn in the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. I'll read verse 15 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you study the word and you lay it to heart and you obey the scriptures and the commandments of our Lord, you will have nothing to be ashamed of. And what a wonderful thing. What a blessing that is. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Which is interesting there, because it's basically what Paul is telling us is profane and vain babblings, they grow, they increase, you know, and that really is true. The more you will allow things like such as that into your life, the more they will multiply in your life. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So we see here that these false teachers were causing confusion in the church, and Paul had to offer that correction. Sometimes that happens. Verse 19, and nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are truly his. And the way he knows those who are his, one of the identifying characteristics of those that are his, is that they depart from iniquity. There are a lot of people out there who claim to be Christian, but if they haven't departed from iniquity, well, I'm sorry, but they're not. You know, some people think that all they have to do is say, I'm a Christian, and it is so, but if you don't obey the Lord, if you don't follow his commandments, if you don't do what this word tells us to do, then that's just a title you're bestowing upon yourself. And it doesn't matter how we esteem ourselves, but it matters how God esteems us. A lot of people want to claim the title, but they don't want to obey the word. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, we're all vessels of something, and if you want to be used of God, you need to be purified and cleansed. And the only way that's going to happen is if you get all the other gunk and garbage out of there first. And that's what we do when we repent and forsake our old works. You know, if you have evil and sin in your heart, the Holy Ghost can't abide there with that. We need to be clean and purified before God so that the Holy Ghost can come into our hearts and that we will be fit for the Master's use. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It is so important to call on the Lord, but we need to do it out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And a lot of people out there, they do waste a lot of time asking foolish questions. You know, someone might ask, can God make a burrito so hot that even he cannot eat it? Those are foolish and unlearned questions. And we are to avoid those sort of things. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see how important it is that we study the Word of God. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We lay these words to our heart, follow them, and obey them. What I'd like to do now is continue on in chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And are we living in perilous times? Oh, yes, definitely. If you want to know more about that, you can read the newsletter I just wrote. There are many perilous things happening all the time. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Is there any of that going around today? Without natural affection? And of course, we know that in this day and age, it's very common for women to have abortions. They don't seem to have that natural affection that they're supposed to have, that's supposed to be instilled in their hearts from God. They don't think it's any serious thing to have an abortion. They don't have that natural affection, that motherly love that's supposed to be there. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away.
There are a lot of people out there that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There are a lot of religious people out there, but, you know, sometimes being religious isn't a good thing. We need to obey the scriptures. We need to lay them to heart, not be religious. Being a Christian is more than a religion. It's a way of life. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, some people are like that. They're always learning new things, but they're confused. They don't know the truth. And, you know, you read a lot of different things. There are so many different denominations out there all teaching of different things. And so many weird beliefs. I know now that some people are, sometimes some people who even claim to be Christians are now saying that they think there are aliens out there, you know, out in space and so forth, and going to come visit us, and all kinds of weird, odd beliefs. You know, they're ever learning, they're always learning new things, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Of course, we know that the word reprobate there, what that's referring to is people who can no longer see the difference between right and wrong. And if you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, if you don't know what these scriptures say and understand them in the spirit of truth, then there's a very real danger that you can become reprobate. And of course, none of us want that to happen. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know, people might look at that and say, well, people are being persecuted today and the Lord doesn't deliver them all out of that. Some of those people are killed. How is that deliverance? Well, if you're killed for the cause of Christ, then you have victory in heaven, and that is your deliverance. We don't need to fear those who can kill his body. You know, that's the worst that man can do to us, but it's really not much of a threat when you stop and think about it. Because what are they really doing? They're threatening you with heaven. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there is a lot of persecution going on right now. I know over in Nigeria they're having quite a problem because there's this extremist Muslim group, they call themselves Boko Haram, and they're going around and attacking Christians, and they kill them by the hundreds, by the thousands even. And of course, they were recently in the news because they went to a school in a small village and kidnapped over 200 young girls, teenage girls. And there's been a lot of media attention given to that. I guess various countries have sent soldiers over there to look for those girls. They're still looking for them, and hopefully they'll be found and set free from those who have taken them captive. But these Islamic extremists over there, they're so extreme, actually, that sometimes they even kill other Muslims because they feel they're not radical enough, not strict enough. That's a very, very serious thing that's going on over there. And, of course, we should
remember to keep the Christians there in prayer, because it's a very frightening situation, I'm sure. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And oh, does that verse ring true today? You know, if people expect things to get better out there, they're sorely mistaken. They're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. But even as things get worse, we can rejoice in the fact that it just means we're getting closer and closer to the return of our Savior. And the Lord knows how to sustain us and take care of us. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When you study the Scriptures, they make you wise unto salvation. You learn of God's wondrous plan of salvation. These Scriptures tell us what to do. And if we obey these Scriptures, we can have eternal life. We can have salvation. And as we read these Scriptures, our faith grows.
Praise the Lord.
And the Spirit of God can abound in our hearts. That's why it's so important to study the Word, to lay these words to heart. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you want to be complete in the Lord, if you want to overcome sin, we need to study the Word. It tells us here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is all God's Word. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, as far as reproof and correction goes, sometimes we don't like that, but it's for our own good. Praise the Lord. So we see how important from these chapters, we see how important it is to study the Word of God. What I'd like to do now is go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read a portion of Scripture there. And in Ephesians chapter 6, going down to verse 10, it tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, for those of you who are interested in overcoming the wiles of the devil, this is a very important portion of Scripture to lay to heart. If we follow these steps, if we obey these words, we can overcome the devil. What a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm thankful that we don't have to wrestle against flesh and blood these days. We know in the Old Testament, sometimes the Israelites had to go to battle with neighboring tribes, and I'm sure that was a very unpleasant thing to have to go through. But as Christians, we still are fighting a war. We still have something to wrestle against. It's not flesh and blood. It's not a physical fight, but a spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that there is a lot of spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you want to overcome the devil, if you want to withstand the devil, if you want to withstand in the evil day, you have to take on the armor of God. not a physical armor that we wear, but a spiritual armor. And the Apostle Paul is about to tell us just what that armor is. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we see here what we need, what that armor is. The truth. Righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. We need all of those things. That is the armor. And it all starts when you study the Word of God, when you lay it to heart. When you hide the Word of God in your heart. But when you do that, it starts the growth of faith in your heart. And when you have faith in your heart, pretty soon you have salvation from the Lord as you are inspired by His Word and you obey His commandments. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we know that if we study the Word of God with open hearts, willing to receive what the Lord has to teach us, we will understand the gospel. It won't be a mystery to us. He will open our eyes to the truth. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. What I'd like to do now as we prepare to close is go back to Psalm 119. And this time, we're going to be starting all the way down at verse 89. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it tells us, "Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven." And we know that to be true. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Remember the words of Jesus, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." His word is firmly established in heaven. Verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants." You know, all people, whether they realize it or not, are subject to God's will. We all serve Him. And if you don't do it voluntarily, you're going to have to answer for that someday. There's a day coming when all will bow before Jesus Christ in judgment, and all will profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, even the atheists. Verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." It's so important that we never forget the Word of God. And the best way to make sure you never forget the Word of God is to make sure you read it, study it, meditate upon it. Sometimes we all need a refresher course in the lessons the Bible teaches us. And there are so many things the Bible has to teach us, so many lessons to learn. We need to make sure we never forget the Word of God. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And the more you study the Word of God, the more you're going to love it. That's how it works. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. There's great wisdom in the Word of God. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. And that's another important thing we need to remember. If you want to keep the word of God in your heart, you have to refrain your feet from every evil way. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that is so important to embrace, to understand, that the Lord lights our way through his word, through his scripture. You know, I remember shortly after we bought our house, we have a hallway, obviously, and I wasn't used to living there yet, so sometimes I'd get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and wasn't sure where the door was. It's very dark walking in the hallway, and I remember at the time the light bulb was burnt out too, so I couldn't just turn on the light. I would stumble around in the hall until finally I found the door, but it was a lot of work. And, you know, eventually we got a little night light, and I plugged that in, and it's very nice because now when I need to go out, I can see where I'm going. It's a little lamp, and I'm glad it's there, because if it wasn't, I think a lot of nights I would probably trip over a cat. But the Word of God acts in a similar way in our spiritual lives. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. It shows us what we need to know, what we must do. And we know that these scriptures are the Word of God. And these scriptures serve as a light in our hearts. If we hide this Word in our heart, we won't be stumbling around in darkness, but we will have a lamp under our feet and a light under our paths. In closing, I'd like to read just two more verses. And they can be found in Luke chapter 11. You can turn there if you want, but like I said, it's going to be for just two verses, so it'll be very brief. Actually, what happened in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is preaching, and one woman, obviously, was very excited by what he had to say. In chapter 11, verse 27, if I can find it. All right. I think I actually marked the wrong verses. But Looking at the wrong chapter here. This is Luke 12. I wonder why it's confused. There we go. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 27, it tells us, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." And, a lot of people, they still say similar things today. You know, especially the Catholics, they seem to honor Mary sometimes above God. But Jesus offered a little correction here in verse 28. "But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." If you want to be blessed by God, we need to hear his word. We need to follow his word. We need to keep his word. We need to keep it in our hearts. Everywhere we go, meditate upon it day and night. For as Jesus tells us in verse 28, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." If you want to have salvation, if you're seeking eternal life, if you want to dwell with your Savior in eternity, then remember the word of God. Follow the word of God. Seek the word of God with your whole heart. Let God write his word on your very heart. And remember to always keep the word of God. For in that we are blessed. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the many blessings thou hast taught us in thy scriptures. We thank thee for thy word, which is forever settled in heaven. We ask, O God, that these words would be written on our hearts, that we would never forget these words, but that we would meditate upon them day and night, that we would embrace them fully, that we would follow thy word, obey thy commandments, seek after thee. O Lord, we ask, O God, that thou wouldst keep the evil one out of our lives, out of our hearts, that thou wouldst give us strength through thy scriptures to overcome the wiles of the enemy, to overcome the temptations of the world. We ask, O God, that we would never forget these words, but that they would abide with us from now and into all eternity. We ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And we'll close with a chorus, number 78 in the chorus book, "Keep on Walking by Faith." Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.